With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be talking FA Cup with the managers at Kidsgrove Athletic, Alf Church, Hyde United and Barwell. We'll be looking ahead to this weekend's fixtures in the EvoStick NPL Premier Division with Whitby Town Radio's Andrew Snaith, and we'll be hearing from the NPL Football Academy later in the show. All of that and loads more on this week's NPL show. Welcome. So welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick NPL show. Later on in the show we're going to be speaking to Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio for a full preview for all this weekend's matches in the Premier Division. We're also going to be catching up with the NPL Football Academy later on as well. But before that, it's now time to welcome back a dear old friend to the show. James Hayes joins us now from the Northern Premier League. Hello James, how's things?
Evening Ben, how you doing?
I'm all good. So we've got you on to talk about the FA Cup, because we've had the first qualifying round this past week, and the draw has been made for the second qualifying round, which will be taking place next week. So what we've decided to do is to ensure that the jinx, the famous EvoStick NPL show jinx, doesn't affect our sides in the next round of the FA Cup, we've decided to do the interviews earlier. So coming up on this week's show, we'll be hearing from Barwell, Alf Church, Kidsgrove, Hyde United. At time of recording, that's the ambition. We'll wait and see whether the managers accept to come on. But anyway, what did you make of the first qualifying round? There's a mixed bag of results. A few disappointments, I'm going to suggest, as well.
There was a fair few. I mean, for those who were listening to 26-0 last night, me and Berkey had a little discussion about some of the fixtures. We said it last week, you've got to look out for the Step 5 and Step 6 sides. ABA have taken Altrincham to a replay. Hormond knocking out Matlock. League Town, for example, going down 5-1 to Sheffield Dynamo.
So the results that we're talking about here, one of the big results was Abihe 3, Altrincham 3. Sam Freaks there getting the 87th minute equaliser for Abihe, sending the crowd into pandemonium there in Gorton, I'm going to suggest. 381 fans, I'm going to suggest the majority were Alti fans though. Alti did bounce back on Tuesday and won the replay by 2-1. Mosley was the other replay too. Mosley earlier on Saturday, Mosley drew 2-2 with 1874 Northwich. 1874 Northwich, Sam Hind getting two of the goals, the second of which was in the 90th minute. And in the replay, 1874 Northwich beat Mosley by 2-0. Kettering also beat Romulus by 3-0. So it's been a mixed bag of results. On Saturday, we had Ashton Athletic beating Bamber Bridge. We also had Boston Town beating Hensford Town by 2-0. A big upset there. Horman beating Matlock Town by 3-2. That's definitely an upset. Redditch United knocked Lincoln United out. We also had being knocked out of the competition at this early stage, where Penistone Church beating Whitby Town. Andy Ring getting the winner there for Penistone Church in the 90th minute. I think that's it. And you mentioned earlier, Shepshire Dynamo beating Leek Town by 6-1. Skelmersdale United going out by 2-1 at home to Handsworth Parrymore. St Ives beating Colville Town by 1-0. So it has been a bit disappointing. I'm going to throw that out there. However, there are some bright sparks in the first qualifying round. And what was the pick of the results for you for the teams from the NPL who did make it through?
Just looking at the main ones at this moment in time, I think the big shout out on there is from the Drolsden Colwyn Bay, Drolsden 4-3. A right massive humdinger of a game there. Obviously 7 goals win just after the hour. The only other one of real big points is obviously the match, what we call the match of the two matches of the day. Avon Colby's leaving it to late on to get 2-1 victory at Cleethorpes, and South Shields winning 2-0 at Witton Albion.
Unlucky Peterborough Sports took Stafford Rangers right to the end there. A cracking game of football there in Cambridgeshire. Peterborough Sports 3, Stafford Rangers 4. Congratulations to Rush Olympic. They also went through. Shaw Lane beat Radcliffe Borough by 3-1. Sorry, James.
No comment.
Yeah, I'm moving on already. Stalybridge Celtic, cracking result. This one beat Farsley Celtic by 2-1. Theo Bailey-Jones there getting the winner for Stalybridge on the 90th minute. We've also got Barwell beating Sutton Coldfield Town by 2-0. The Warrington match 1-0 at home against Grimsby Borough. South Shields did beat Witton Albion, showing what South Shields are made of and probably where they're heading over the next few years or so. We've also got Ossett Town beating Consett by 2-1. Cracking result that by Ossett Town. Big congratulations to them. Michelover Sports beat Hinckley by 2-1. Alchurch, cracking result, beating Market Drayton Town by 5-1. Josh Marsh getting a hat-trick there for Alchurch. Stourbridge beat Loughborough Dynamo by 3-1. Ashton United beat Marine also by 3-1. Kidsgrove beat Clitheroe by 3-2. Congratulations to Hyde United. They made it through 1-0 against Kendal Town. Baseford United, big upset this one. And we said it was, there's a good chance of an upset. Hales Owen Town 0, Baseford United 3. And Buxton beat Frickley by 3-2. Could have been a bit of banana skin that for Buxton, but they safely navigated it. And that's all the results from this past week in the FA Cup. Now let's talk about the second qualifying round then. There's some big matches involving our sides. As you've already said, this is where step two comes into it. My beloved FC United, for example, this is where we enter the fray. And we've got some interviews lined up with some of the managers and chairmen who'll be looking for upsets in the next round. Let's start with this one here. AFC Telford United against Barwell. So welcome back to the show now, manager at Barwell. It's a big welcome to Jimmy Ginnelly. Hello, Jimmy. How's things?
Hiya, Ben. Hope you're well.
I'm all good. So we'll get to the FA Cup in a second or two, but just your general thoughts about the start to the season. It has been the Sutton Coldfield Barwell show this week, and you've managed to put 8 past them. It's not been a bad week for Barwell, has it?
No, it's been fantastic. And shame it's against one of my good old, pretty much one of my best friends, really, in Steve Inks. But life must go on, and we both help each other out very much in this Northern Premier with reports. It's been great. 8, all different goal scorers as well, mainly. So it's just great at the minute to be at Barwell.
What was your thinking going into the season? Because obviously, I think we've touched upon it towards the end of last season as well as in the preview shows, just that idea that Barwell have always threatened of getting involved in the playoff chase, but they've always never quite pulled it off. What's your expectations for this season? Is it to really challenge for the playoffs this season?
Not really, mate. No, we had a budget cut. We had a meeting with the chairman and the directors at the start of the season with the Midland League coming up next year. We're not going to go mad. We like your status on the show, one of those four. So I think we'll continue to just be happy to roll along, be one of those four and stay out of the bottom four, to be honest.
I mean, it's one of them. I was thinking about this the other day because I used to do the Southern League show, and I was thinking of Hungerford Town, who a lot of people predicted Hungerford Town to have a good season, but yet they did get promoted through the playoffs, and they're very, very comfortable in National League South. And Barwell, you've always had a good side. You've always played good football. And are you trying to play cool and under the radar kind of thing? You can be honest with us. No, go on.
Well, brilliant. 100% honest. What I did say last year was I started the season with a lot of kids who've been released from Football League clubs, and everybody says it's great to have this lad from Derby, Leicester, Coventry, Aston Villa, Birmingham, West Brom. And we tried a little bit of that last year, and we tried to unearth the next new kid. But it didn't quite work for us. And then the second half of the season, unfortunately, I went into hospital and a new knee replacement, left my partner Guy Adland all on his own. And for about the last 15 games, it was sort of like just to get through it. And when we came travelling back from Spennymoor, I sat with the chairman saying that you really need to trust me next year. Let me go for experience and forget the kids for a year. And that's what I've tried to do. I've gone for a bit of experience and it seems to be a lot better. I want to be able to be in the changing rooms and just say, lads, I can trust you. This game in front of you, it won't faze anybody. Doesn't really matter who we're playing. If we play to our potential, then I'm sure we can give most of the teams at the top end of the game. But again, you know, no, I'm not trying to go under the radar, but I'd love to get in the top six, but I won't be putting everything I've got on it, you know.
And this weekend, just to stay for the league for a couple of seconds longer, we've got you've got Altrincham coming this weekend, and this is going to be a good barometer of where Bowell are, I feel, this game.
Yeah, we Altrincham, obviously, everybody's saying, you know, we know Phil Parkinson, and we know the size of the club. My nephew was up there the other year, Josh Ginelli, on loan from Birmingham. You know, he's now on loan at Lincoln. So we know Altrincham's a massive club, and we know a bit about Altrincham. But again, Barwell against Altrincham, it's on paper, it's an away win, isn't it? So we just say, go out there, boys, give it your best shot. And then straight afterwards, we go to Stourbridge on the Monday. And then we've got Telford coming up. So it's an amazing, massive week for a little village club like Barwell.
Now, let's talk about this FA Cup run then. And, the league's one thing, but every club loves a good FA Cup run. Telford at the moment are very hot and cold, to say the least. What are you expecting from them? Oh, by the way, we've got you on early, so we're not jinxing you. You'd be pleased to know. So what are you expecting from Telford?
Again, it's going to be a massive, massively tough game for Barwell, isn't it? You know, it's certainly when you see the draw, you instead of going, oh, we got a great draw at home, you go Telford away. And I suppose the wording goes like, ooh, you know, tough fixture. But at the same time, you know, if you're going to go out early, you want to play someone with 1,000 crowd and you nick a few quid through, hopefully off the gate receipts. But again, it's another one of those. We had them watched against Nuneaton the other night. We'll just go there as underdogs, give it our best shot, and hopefully we can pull a shock off and then get a home draw in the next round.
Well, Jimmy, I could say this to you now, and it won't affect the result, and hopefully it'll be a positive result, but we hope you win, and we hope you make it through to the third qualifying round, and when you do, we'll definitely have you back on the show. Jimmy Ginelli, manager at Barwell, a big thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks, Benj. See you, pal.
So, a big thank you there to Jimmy Ginelli joining us there. What do you reckon to this one? Telford United are not in the best of form at the moment.
Not in the best of form, and I think Barwell will be looking over the shoulders thinking they could get a good win here. Barwell have got to make use of the form they've got at the moment of time. They've just come off of a 6-0 win against Sutton Coldfield. So, if they win tomorrow in their fixture, they'll be going into the cup game thinking, you know what, we could have a go at Telford here and have a massive opportunity to get to the third qualifying round.
Now, there are some other matches as well. We're not doing a full fixture preview for the second qualifying round. That'll be next week. And we will be also interviewing some managers involved in big games. For example, Basford United will be hosting Michelover Sports. Also, next week, we'll hear from Charlene. Charlene will be travelling to Blyth Spartans. I've seen Blyth Spartans firsthand now, and they're very, very impressive. Dale Hobson's really added something there to Blyth Spartans. We've also got Buxton against Chasetown, and we'll be hearing from Chasetown next week. Darling against South Shields, what a tie that is. And our next one that we're going to be focusing on, Grantham Town against Alvechurch, new to the league in Division 1 South. It gives us a good opportunity, this one here, to catch up with Alvechurch to hear their views on this FA Cup tie and just how they're settling into the league. So, Alvechurch now, and joining us, it's a debut to the show for manager, welcome Ian Long. Hello Ian, how's things?
Fine, thanks. How are you, yourself?
I'm all good. So it's one of them things where you're not officially welcome to the league until the podcast welcomes you to the league. So welcome to the Northern Premier League, to everyone at the club. We'll get to the FA Cup in a second, but just your thoughts on the excellent start that Alvechurch has made to the season.
Yeah, it's been a steady start. We suffered our first defeat on Tuesday night against Basford, which was disappointing. We felt that we played well enough to get something out of the game, especially second half. Although, a little bit disappointed we conceded a couple of sloppy goals in the first half. We were down to 10 men, we conceded the second. One of our lads, centre-half, was receiving treatment. So, we dropped somebody in at centre-half, a centre-mid, and he didn't get round on the cover, and we got punished. But apart from that, you know, we've started nice and solid, and it's for make sure that we bounce back now after that defeat against Basford.
Now, we spoke to Basford last week, and I think a lot of people were predicting good things for Basford United this season. So it might not necessarily be that bad a result. And as you said, to run them that close, it shows just how competitive Alvechurch is going to be this season. What were your expectations going into the season? Obviously, it's a new division. It's promotion from last season. What were your expectations?
Well, I've experienced the league before. I was with Cividale before, and we finished eighth. So, you know, as long as we consolidated really this season, it wasn't about setting any sort of benchmarks or anything. We just wanted to consolidate really and try and finish as obviously as high up the table as we possibly could.
And when it comes to the off the pitch and that kind of thing, Al Church is probably a new name to a lot of listeners. What's the general mood like at the club at the moment?
It's good, obviously. So, I mean, we actually won a treble last season. We won the League Cup, another local cup, and we won the Midland League, which is a good competitive league. A lot of the sides done well in the Vars last season. So, you know, the feeling's good. Crowds are slightly on the up, although, you know, it could be bigger. You know, for the success that we've had on the pitch, we'd like a few more in. But, you know, everything is going in the right direction. There's a new ground on the horizon. It's a 19.5-acre site, close by to the ground. So, you know, we're looking to move into that within 18 months or so. We're actually using it as a sort of training base at the moment. The reserves play from there. So everything's going in the right direction at the club at the moment, and long may that continue.
And as a club, it has got a history at step three of non-league, we should say as well. So it has got all the hallmarks of a club that could go at least one step further up the pyramid. And that leads me on to a question about the competition overall. We've already touched upon Basford United, but you've joined the league with Peterborough Sports and Cleethorpes Town as well. It seems an awfully competitive league, but also a very expansive league as well. How are you finding the challenges of the competition as well as the travelling side of things?
Well, the travelling, like you say, also, we've done it before. We've been in Division 1 South as a management team before. And yeah, it's not too bad. You know, the lads, they've got plenty of notice for midweek away games. We travel by coach to every game, obviously, within reason. You know, obviously Romulus and Chasetown, who are local to us, we all drive, but the rest, you know, we travel together on a coach, try and do things as professionally as possible. So the travelling is not a problem. And the competition itself, yeah, it's a competitive league. We drew with Gresley, we've got points at Gresley. We're, you know, they're down towards the bottom of the table. So, you know, every game you've got to be bang at it at the moment. But, you know, we're more than holding our own, I'd like to think, at the moment. And we've had very good possession and spells in games where, you know, we probably could be on more points than we actually are.
Now, unfortunately, we do the Division 1 show, and on the Division 1 show, I can be as biased as a like with regards to our Division 1 sides in the Northern Premier League. But the second qualifying round of the FA Cup has teed up a fixture with Grantham Town, so I've got to be fair in this interview, you understand, Ian. But yeah. Congratulations on getting through. A superb result against Market Drayton in the first qualifying round. Superb stuff.
Yeah, we did play some good football. The game was actually held at Nantwich. It suited us, the pitch was decent. And we come out of the blocks and we raced into a 4-0 half-time lead, and it was pretty much job done then. And the lads took their foot off the gas a little bit, which I think is human nature, although, you know, we tried to keep on to them and make sure they were still bang at it. But sort of, you know, eased off the gas a little bit and went back down the gears and... probably wasn't as convincing as it perhaps could have been if we'd have stayed on it, but, you know, to get a name in the hat for the next round. And now we've got a really tough draw away from home against Grantham. We had them watched against Mickle over on Tuesday night, so we'll go about it as professionally as possible and make sure we do our own work. And hopefully be ready for them.
Well, that Michalova game would have been a good one to watch, wouldn't it? Really.
Yeah.
Ian Long, thank you for joining us. And can't wish you more luck than Grantham Town, but congratulations for getting through to the second qualifying round. Welcome to the league, and congratulations on the superb start you've already made to the season.
Cheers. Thanks, Ben. Thank you very much.
Big game, that one. Potential banana skin there for Grantham Town, but Grantham Town are having a good season, to be fair.
I mean, Grantham have just slipped up a little bit in the last week or two, but both sides know what's at stake. Al Church are on free form, scoring at this moment in time.
Here's one that's got the full backing of everyone in the Northern Premier League. Kettering Town against Kidsgrove Athletic. This we spoke to Trafford in the earlier rounds. Trafford were playing Kidsgrove in the FA Cup. Kidsgrove have gone on a good they're on a good FA Cup run at the moment. Let's catch up with Kidsgrove now about this match, travelling to Kettering Town in the second qualifying round. So welcome to the show now, making his debut on the show. It's the manager at Kidsgrove Athletic. Please welcome Ryan Austin. Hello, Ryan. How's things?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. How's yourself?
I'm all good. So we'll get to the FA Cup in a second or two. But Kidsgrove Athletic this season, how's the season gone so far in these early stages?
I'd have to say it's probably not gone to plan, not gone how we expected it to go to. We're not a million miles away, which is why we're getting a little bit frustrated at the moment. We're just getting every individual mistake. We're getting punished, which does happen when you're down there. But we're not going to make we're not going to make excuses for that. We're going to roll the sleeves up and do something about it.
What was your targets going into the season for Kidsgrove? Because Kidsgrove have been mid table-ish for the past few seasons in Division One South. But to my mind, looking on from not too far away, Kidsgrove always seems like a decent sized club that could be doing a bit better.
Yeah, I think as soon as we sat down with the board at the end of the season. Obviously, I took over at the beginning of last season and got us into mid-table. We obviously want to progress, like every club wants to progress. So I think you'll probably hear 90% of managers say that they want to be targeting the playoffs, and we'd fall into that bracket. I felt as though that we build a squad over the summer that would be competing, and I still do. Obviously, it's very early days, and we're not going to get bogged down by looking at the league table at this stage of the season. I believe if we stick to what we've planned through pre-season, then we should be somewhere there or thereabout come the end of the season.
And often a cup run actually triggers that kind of form going back into the league campaign. And we've got you on to talk about the cup. A superb result over the weekend against Clitheroe in quite a ding-dong encounter there with a Division One North side.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining game for the neutral. I can assure you it wasn't too entertaining as the manager, but... No, we were delighted to get through, and credit to Clitheroe because they were a good side, and they came and had a real good go at us, and it seemed like every time we got a nose in front, they pegged us straight back. I think they scored pretty much as we made it 3-1. I thought, right, here we go, we're in for a comfortable last 20 minutes, and then within about 30 seconds, one of the lads has wrapped one in the top corner and made it a nervous finale, but thankfully we held on. And like you say, we're in the draw for the next round.
And you've got, one of the plum draws, I'm going to suggest, an away trip to Kettering Town. They beat Romulus 3-0 in the last round. A very daunting proposition. But then again, Kidsgrove have done this in the past before, and I'm pretty sure they could do it again.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, Kettering are a massive non-league club, and they've got a lot of history with the non-league and probably the FA Cup. So we'll be going there, knowing full well that we're in for a tough afternoon's work. But like you say, we'll go there with a game plan, and we'll go there trusting the squad and the players that we've got, and we'll give it everything we've got.
Now, when it comes to Kidsgrove then for the remainder of the season and the competition more generally, that part of Stafford that Kidsgrove find itself in, it's very competitive. I think you used to play for Stoke, didn't you, or Burton, or one of the two?
I played for Burton and Crewe.
There we go. Right, so you know the non-league scene in that neck of the woods with the likes of Newcastle and the like. What's it like running a non-league club in that Staffordshire area? Because it seems like a proper non-league hotbed.
Well, like you say, it is. It's very competitive. Obviously, we've got League Town and Newcastle Town right on the doorsteps. We've got Chase Town, not a million mile, Market Drayton, even Gresley, and then going up a league into like the likes of Witten. So you're competing for the same players, and it's a very, very competitive market right through pre-season. This is my first pre-season that I've been in charge, and I've found that an eye-opener at times when you're ringing and how many offers are on the table from different clubs for the same sort of players. But we've got obviously sell ourselves to players and make sure that they want to come and play for us, and I've enjoyed that side of the job from my first pre-season.
Well, that's when a win against Kettering comes in very handy, because you can go, look at this. And speaking of which, we've got you on 2 weeks before the fixture, because we don't want to, you know, ruin it for you. And hopefully the jinx will have worn off by next Saturday. But because this is the MPL show, we can safely say we hope you win. We hope you make it through to the next round. And when you do get through to the next round, please come back on the show, Ryan Austin, manager at Kidsgrove Athletic.
Yeah, I will do. Pleasure.
So that's Kettering Town against Kidsgrove Athletic. Next up, we've got this one here, Lancaster City against Drolsden. Drolsden have had a good start to the season. Good start.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good start, and they've got a strong three going forward as well.
Now, some other matches as well in the FA Cup. We've got Newcastle Benfield against our beloved Ashton United, an All-NPL Division 1 North Affair, Ossett Town against Atherton Coles, Scarborough Athletic against Sunderland RCA, Shed Dynamo hosting Nantwich Town there. Nantwich Town looking for revenge on behalf of their near neighbours, Leake Town. Shildon will be hosting Alter. Stafford Rangers will be hosting Tamworth, and Stalybridge Celtic against Chorley. How important was that victory against Farnsley Celtic for reinvigorating Stalybridge Celtic's sluggish form at the early part of the season? Next up on this week's show, and staying with the Tameside theme, Hyde United, they'll be travelling to Warrington Town. Is there a chance for an upset here? Let's hear now from Hyde United. Welcome back to the show now, manager at Hyde United. It's a big welcome return to Darren Kelly. Hello, Darren. How's things?
Hi, Ben. How's things?
All good, mate. All good. So we'll get to the FA Cup in a second or two, but just your general thoughts about the league campaign thus far for Hyde United. A much better start, I feel, this season.
Yeah, it is. When we came into the role last season, a lot of it was sort of seeing what the league's about. That's the thing with management in general, and why managers have to be given the chance, especially if they don't know the leagues. My thing, obviously, coming into the job, I didn't know the league or anything. We come in and we scour and we bring in the players that we feel can help us challenge. And I'll be honest, I think we probably get it wrong in terms of some personnel. But I think, a year wiser and a year more experienced, I think we've got a team now that, can go and achieve sort of pretty much what they want, really, because they're a very talented, hard-working bunch. But you know what? They're very professional in what they do. They come in and they work extremely hard and they want it. And I think that's the key, Ben. They want it. And we've started well. I think, to be honest, I'm not shocked by that at all. We've played seven. We've won four and we've drawn three. I think two of them three draws should have really been wins. But, again, it's been a fine start. And I think as the season goes on, we'll just get stronger and stronger. And, well, hopefully stronger and stronger. If we can avoid injury suspensions, that type of thing, I'm hoping we can do very well.
And obviously, we big up goal scoring on this show, but your defence is mightily impressive at the moment. One of the best defensive records in the league after five games. And goal scoring seems to turn the corner as well after those four goals midweek against Radcliffe.
Yes, defensively is my thing. I want us to be hard to beat, Ben. I think that's, the old cliche that goes, you don't concede goals, you don't lose games. I think that stands. But, equally at the other side, I want to play an attacking style of play that, attracts the supporters in as well. I think that's, that's important because supporters want to come and they want to see goals and they want to see fantastic play and things like that, I think, two of the draws that we played, the team set out, which, to be honest, they openly admitted, the managers that I'd spoken to, that they'd set out to frustrate us, sit back, defend, and frustrate. And I think they did that, but it's a lesson to be learned. And should that come again, I think we'll have different things in our locker to sort of exploit that. But I think from an attacking, point of view, obviously Matt Beadle's come in, he scored a couple of goals. Matt didn't do a pre-season due to a bad ankle injury, and he's, he's our number nine. He's the goal scorer one, and then we've got the players around him. Through pre-season, we worked extremely hard because we wanted pace up there, but we wanted a goal score. And I think throughout the squad, in terms of the attacking players, we've got players who, we're not going to just rely on Matt Beadle, for example. We've also got players who can chip in with the goals as well. And as I say, as long as we can keep it out one side and put it in the other, I think we'll be happy enough. And as you say, yeah, we look defensively strong. We defend from the front, but we like to get numbers forward as well so we can create the chances, which we've been doing a lot. We've been doing a lot of, and hopefully we can get even better at that.
And you mentioned the fact last season was a bit of a finding your feet season in Division 1 North. This season, we've lost Farnsley Celtic and Lancaster City, obviously, but we've gained clubs like South Shields, like Atherton Colliery's, and no mugs. And you've got clubs like Scarborough Athletic, for example, and Drolsden and the like, who really turned it up this season. There is an extra automatic promotion spot. There's a chance as well that it could go down to to third and seventh being a playoff. Yeah. This is a real opportunity this season for Hyde. What was your expectation going into the season, your target for the club?
Again, my target is to achieve. That's everything that we go. Again, halfway stage to last season, I knew really what or where we were going to go. We brought in a couple of players. We really excelled from that, so that gave us the foundation to start this season. I believe now we've got a squad that can really go and challenge. But you know what you said about your Farsleys and Lancasters? They're in the league above now. We play Warrington in the FA Cup. And to be honest with you, Ben, I don't fear them. Last season, I had that bit of fear because, I'm a realist as well. When your game's in, you know where your weak spots are and things like that. And I just think this season, I don't fear. I wouldn't fear Farsley. I wouldn't fear Lancaster. I don't fear South Hughes. I don't fear anyone because I believe this season we're well-equipped, more than equipped probably, to deal with these teams. I'm not going to lie. We haven't got the biggest budget. I think people seem to think we do when we don't. We haven't got a budget that can compete with your South Shields and your Scarboroughs and things like that. But what we have is we've got a squad that want to achieve through their professional standards and, their want to achieve, shall I say. You look at teams or players that want to go to teams because they've a bit of money and they're going to get a bit of money. We have players that just want to come and be successful. And I think through what we've done in pre-season and working with the players, as closely as we have, I'm not going to lie, I expect us to be up there. Our big thing is, again, which, we look at last season, where I think we had too many draws, especially at home. And I think now we can turn it around because we've got the players who, can go and get us the goals and can sort of turn the draws that were last season into the wins this season. So to be honest, I expect us to be up there competing. And as you say, you look at if you're sort of one to seven, you have a chance, because you're going to look at the first and second promotion, possibly third place, best points, and then you have the playoffs outside of that. So we got to be aiming to be in the mix. Come obviously January, February time, Ben, if we're up and in there, which I expect us to be, I think we have a decent chance.
And I was going to ask you about your expectations for Warrington, but you've answered that question already, Darren. Perfect guest.
Yeah.
We did get you on a week earlier, so you've got a decent run up to the Warrington match. We'll get Paul on next week, and we'll really seal the deal for you. No problem at all.
Brilliant.
Well, Darren Keller, manager at Hyde United, a big thank you for joining us this week on the MPL show, and you have a lovely weekend.
You too. Thanks, Ben.
So Hyde United against Warrington Town. Is there a chance of an upset, James?
After seeing them last night in the Rackley fixture, again, I'll leave that for Andrew Snape, or is he not talking Division 1 this week?
No, he's not talking Division 1.
Right. Seeing them against Rackley, had the 4-1 defeat to him, they looked is a lot more direct from what we've used to at this moment in time. We've got a nice little passing lane going. It could disrupt Warrington Town a little bit, but again, we know Warrington have been top of the table since day one, but they can't. They've got to go from the word go, really, I think, in that one.
So that's all the Saturday matches, a week Saturday matches in the second qualifying round. There's also one on the Sunday, bizarrely, because of cricket. Who knew? Stourbridge against St Ives Town on Sunday the 17th. And we'll have a full preview on next week's show, and we'll speak to some of the clubs that we've not managed to catch up with on this week's show as well. But James Hayes, a big thank you for coming on the show and walking us through the FA Cup results from the past week. Congratulations to everyone who's managed to get through. Commiserations to those who haven't, but then there's the league and there's the FA Trophy. And the Dudeson started as well. Just a quick plug for the Dudeson. There was two matches, wasn't there?
There was three matches last night. Three, and then obviously there's one taking place as we're recording this at the moment in time, so which we can't really say. But Scarborough looking to recover from last year's first round exit. 5-0 victory against Sheffield last night. Clitheroe going out 3-0 to Colne, and also there was one in the south. It was Market Drayton knocking out Chasetown 3-0. So, obviously, good high-scoring game. Worth pointing out, there's been over 170 goals, I believe, from the Saturday and the midweek games so far, not including games taken on tonight. Probably not a good thing to mention for managers at this moment in time who just want to sharpen up the defence.
Absolutely, and it shows an entertaining version of the game, and that's cracking stuff. Yeah. Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely week, and we'll be hearing from you next week.
No worries, Ben. Thank you.
So, very shortly, we're going to be catching up with Andrew Snape with a fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, but we're now going to look at the NPL Football Academy, and joining us now for a bit of an overview of the Academy for the coming season, we're now joined by the director at the NPL Football Academy. Please welcome to the show, Darren Royal. Hello, Darren. How's things?
Very well, thank you. How are you, Ben?
I'm all good. So I think the season kicked off this past weekend, didn't it, on the football inside? But the Academy, it's vast, isn't it? And it offers so much opportunities for young people. Can you give us a bit of an overview about what the Academy offers?
Yes, certainly. It's in its third year now, of a full season we're going into. It's a full-time education programme. It's exclusive, really, outside of the Football League and the Premier League. And it's a dedicated Division 4 teams within the pyramid structure. So you have to be a Northern Premier League team to send an academy team into that. And the players at the academy are full-time in that they train every day, study every day, and they play in an FA-sanctioned league on a Wednesday. Initially, the programme ran for 2 years for students and players that wanted to join it, studying a BTEC. We're now delighted to announce the progression from that to working with Loughborough College, a prestigious organisation, around 2 degree courses as well. A blended degree in sports business and a blended degree in sports coaching. So in effect, a student could literally come and study, train and play at their local NPL club who are participating for 5 years now, which would take them through. So there's numerous benefits as well to that, both at the BTEC level, 16 to 18-year-olds, and then at the degree level.
Now, I've heard of something similar to this run at various individual clubs, but this is unique, isn't it, with regards to a whole league competition being run in this way?
Yeah, it is. We're very proud of that fact as well, that you have to be a Northern Premier League team to be part of this. There are other models out there, college leagues, etc., where you get a variety of different organisations taking part. The fact that you have to be a Northern Premier League team to be part of this is key. Also, from a player's perspective, they get the benefit of playing the majority of their fixtures, weather permitting, in the stadiums where the first team matches take place. So it's a great experience from a football programme perspective, but it's also a really good experience from an education perspective. So we look to maximise the opportunity across both of those avenues. So it is quite exclusive in that respect to other standalone academies.
And the other thing it gives you as well is a bit of a stability of a competition, because throughout non-league there's various clubs trying to find a level for their academy sides. But this gives a bit of uniformity and a bit of a standard to live up to as well.
Yeah, the leagues, you know, run very, very well, very efficiently by our league secretary, Dave Lachlan, who does a fantastic job at officiating and making sure everything's in order in terms of the rules and regulations, and the FA are happy. So it's run more or less like a professional league. All the referees and linesmen are appointed for games. The fixtures are all officiated by Dave and the main NPL league. We have a governance structure around this league as well, where we have an NPLFA board, which reports into the main NPL board, consisting of members from the academy and also the main NPL board. So it's very professional in how it's run. And, you know, we're very proud of it, as I said, going into its third full year now.
And as a competition, it's split into two groups, essentially. But it has grown over the years, and you're inviting more clubs along as the years go by. What's the growth been like?
The growth's been phenomenal, really. It's, you know, we started off in a pilot with 5 clubs, and we're up to 12 now with 17 teams. So some clubs have 2 teams in the programme, with a first-year group and a second-year group. This will be our first year in terms of degree programmes, and obviously a first year of development towards an under-23 or development league as well, which is very exciting. So it's fantastic for the Northern Premier League to have that. it's providing both links with the local community and people with local community and education, but also a football pathway. We've had a number of really good successes, both players going into the professional game and also into first teams from the academy structure into their Northern Premier League first team. So, it's really satisfying to see the players develop like that.
And that's what it's about, really, isn't it? It's pathways into football. But also, if players don't make it, because of the education background that's been provided as well, it's a win-win, essentially, for any youngster. And how can younger players get involved? Is it all operated through the clubs, or can they go through the MPLFA?
Yeah, the website's pretty detailed in terms of the information on there and what you need to do, mplfa.co.uk. So they can either log on through that or the main MPL site. But I would say the easiest way is just to go and have a look online at the mplfa.co.uk website. And it does, you mentioned back there that the other opportunities outside of football, we make sure that the cross-transferable skills that are developed on the course for young people are utilised and offers them progression into whether it be an apprenticeship or work. You know, that's very important, the progression routes that we have. So we had an interesting case study with a league chairman questioning this from one of the clubs, whether it was any use or not, the BTEC course. Well, we've recently seen that BTEC's probably the fastest growing pathway into university now. But also we followed up with one of our clubs and found that we had a massive crossover in terms of students finishing the course successfully and gaining either further education or employment as well. So that's really important.
And considering it's in the third year and you can already point to successes, it can only grow and go in multiple directions, and it is cracking stuff what's being done here at the MPLFA. And, well, Darren Roll, a big thank you for joining us from the MPLFA, and keep up the excellent work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So it's now time for fixture preview, and we'll be looking ahead to all this weekend's fixtures in the NPL Premier Division. And joining me down the other end of the phone, we're joined by the welcome return of broadcasting non-league legend Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. How's things?
Hiya, Ben. I'm doing well, thank you. Lofty praise there in your introduction as well.
All accurate, though. Nothing but facts here on the NPL show. Now, while we've got you on to talk about all the fixtures this weekend, we should really start with Whitby Town. Disappointing outcome last week in the FA Cup, but bouncing back midweek with a really strong result against Ashton United.
Yeah, absolutely. What better way to come back from a last gasp 3-2 defeat than with a last gasp 3-2 win? Left it late against Ashton in midweek, a 93rd minute penalty converted by Davy Carson. I thought Ashton looked decent. It was a good game, actually. Quite a slow start, but opened up in the second half. Decent game of football. I think Ashton looked a decent side, especially at fullback. I thought the fullback really bombed on really well there. Woodford on that right hand side was a feature, and they looked strong at the back as always. So I think they'll go quite well this season. I think they looked a really good side.
We spoke a couple of weeks ago about Whitby's lack of goal-scoring prowess, let's say. But then you've scored four against Stalybridge, you've scored three against Ashton now. So you're starting to click a bit?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. We've had a few struggles in front of goal, to say the least. Chris Hardy, still very very open about his desire to sign at least another one striker. He's playing Kieran Wellard, who's quite a versatile player. And I mean, he's top scoring for us, three goals this season. He is in the top 10. He's doing well as a makeshift striker, just a big, awkward figure up top. And Luke Bardery alongside him, who's quite a versatile player himself. He's actually a striker, but played centre-half a whole last season. So we're kind of have a makeshift partnership there. Matty Tymon came back into the side in midweek as well to join Wellergy. By the way, going back into defence, and that worked well as well. It's been an upturn in terms of goals for Whitby. I think they scored six in the last three, as opposed to six in the five before that. So much more what we want to see in front of goal from a Whitby perspective.
So it's now time anyway. That's enough Whitby talk. Get your own radio station, or you have. let's talk about this weekend's fixtures now. And it all kicks off actually on Friday night because Buxton will be hosting Michelover Sports. Buxton coming off an excellent 3-1 win away at the Dabra Dome, taking on Nantwich Town on Tuesday evening. Sees Buxton up to sixth position now in the league table. And it's been a slow burn at Silverlands, but it looks like they're kicking into gear now.
Yeah, well, what you have at Buxton is the Liam Hardy factor. And I've seen Martin McIntosh come out in the press and praise his top marksman there. And I'm not surprised to read that. Yeah, so dangerous in front of goal. He's topping the scoring charts at the moment. And good to see Buxton experimenting with Friday night football for the Derbyshire derby. I think that'll probably bring a few more through the gate at the Silverlands. And I'm sure Buxton will be up amongst the chasing pack come April, May.
Michelover up to 18th, we should say. They got a good result midweek against Grantham Town. Michelover, I think the term is being Michelover. Really unpredictable this season, beating everybody. So definitely a banana skin there for Buxton in their attempts to get back into the playoff positions. It's only seven games into the season, but you can already see the jockeying going on up at the top end. And at the moment, league leaders are Shaw Lane after a very slow start. Shaw Lane are in top spot, a point clear up at the top. This weekend, they're travelling to newly promoted side, Lancaster City. It's early days, there's only 2 points from the playoffs. But Lancaster City, despite being 11th, they're still undefeated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're another side that score goals. They come up through the First Division North last season. Really looking forward to my first ever trip to Lancaster a week on Tuesday as well. The Giant Axe, which I think that stadium title is a good a reason as any to visit. But yeah, really looking forward to that one. Yeah, really dangerous side as well. Good attacking team. And Shaw Lane, yeah, we saw them falter at the start of the season with those back-to-back defeats. They haven't looked back since. They had the disjointed summer, but they seem to have got around that. All the players they brought in, I think they had about 15 new signings. They've all gelled, it seems, judging by recent results. So that should be an absolute cracker.
And we should say as well, both teams are undefeated since appearing on this show. So you're welcome to both Phil Brown and Craig Elliott there. I'm sure it's something to do with coaching and tactics and that kind of thing, but I do think appearing on the show does help. Warrington Town, they're the team in second at the moment. It's probably game of the day, this one. It's second against third. It's Warrington Town against Farsley Celtic. Well, something has to give, unless, of course, it's a draw.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, Farsley with surely the game of the season so far in midweek in the Celtic derby against Stalybridge, coming back from 3-3 to win 5-4. Absolutely amazing. They've got Jamie Walshaw leading their attack there. He's always dangerous. A difficult customer to deal with. And then you've got Warrington, who are the top scorers in the league overall. So you would think goals, but obviously now I've said that it'll be 0-0 and dreadful.
How could that game be 0-0? How can it be 0-0? It'd be unbelievable. here's a game for you. Stourbridge, currently in fourth position. They travel to bottom place Stalybridge Celtic this weekend. It's a weird one, this one. I mean, Stourbridge have been really... What's the word? I don't want to say chugging along. I don't think that's the right term, but they've been quietly getting on with their business, haven't they? And there they are, where Gary Hackett would like them to be. That's the complete stark contrast to where Stalybridge are at the moment. Steve Burr would not want them to be where they are. A good FA Cup display last weekend, followed up by, well, a good scoreline, but still a defeat on Tuesday night against Farsley.
Yeah, good one for the neutrals. But, yeah, Stalybridge struggling and Stalybridge 100% away from home, the only side in the Premier Division with that record. They'll be difficult opponents. I think what you're saying, chugging along, is accurate. Yeah, Gary Hackett, he's a very good manager. They're a functional side, Stalybridge. They do the ugly stuff. They get that out of the way. They've got a very, very strong defence, very well organised. And then in Jordan Archer, they've got a really lively front man and they'd love to attack teams on the break with his pace and finishing ability, and that's what they'll look to do against Stalybridge.
Next on our agenda for matches is Grantham Town against Workington. Workington had a good result midweek on the west coast of Cumbria, drawing 1-1 with Warrington Town. Grantham have been a bit stuttery, but they're still still in the playoff positions. So there you go. It's going to be a very intriguing game, this one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been seeing both sides this season. I didn't get the Grantham, but I did make the Workington game. And Workington a little bit like Whitby. Had a good season last year. Obviously, Workington got to the playoffs, Whitby just missing out on them. Not quite looking like they're at the races as yet. I haven't quite got into those strides. But you know, with Workington, you will have that quality. They do play good football. And they are a difficult side to beat. Same for Grantham. And I think the show got a little bit of a stick from Grantham fans for saying that they're inconsistent. But they are.
The show didn't. Berkey did. Nothing had to do with the show.
one of the correspondents from the show got a bit of stick from Grantham fans and saying they're inconsistent, but I mean, he's right. I mean, yes, they have only lost 5 in 36 games, I think it is, but they will beat some of the top teams around. They'll outplay them completely and get great wins, and then they'll lose to somebody at the wrong end, and you just don't expect it. If they can arrest that issue with inconsistency, then Grantham will be up in the top 5 come the end of the season. They've certainly got the quality there, and they've got the firepower with Lee Shaw up front.
And just to come to the defence of Mr. Ian Burke, the point of the MPL discussion show is to review the previous month's worth of fixtures. And I accept the correspondence we had in about looking back at, I can't remember the period, I think it was like 30 matches he was talking about. You should look over that period. But we were assessing the month of August in the league, and there were some. Grantham obviously had a cracking start, but there was a couple of slip-ups, and that's what Berkey was talking about, and another slip-up midweek against Mickleover, exactly what Berkey was talking about. So therefore, you'll never hear me say this, Berkey was correct in what he said.
I agree.
There we go. Right, so next up, we've got Witton Albion in 7th there, taking on Stafford Rangers at Marston Road, looking to get some momentum going. Stafford Rangers drawing 1-1 at Halesowe in midweek. It's a bit of a sticky one, that, as is 1-1 against Marine for Witton Albion. They'll be looking to get some wins on the board, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Stafford had that great start, didn't they, at Altrincham on the opening day. The momentum started there, and then just a little bit of a stutter. But you know that they've got the quality there. Witton Albion promoted last season. They'll be looking to get back towards the business end of the league. But I'm sure the Albion fans will be reasonable enough to think that a season of consolidation back in the Premier would be no bad thing.
Barwell is the next topic for this week's show. We obviously spoke to Jimmy Ginnelly earlier, and what a win that was on Tuesday night. 6-0 winners away at Sutton Coldfield. And this weekend, probably one of the most intriguing matches of the weekend, I'm going to suggest. Barwell against Altrincham. Altrincham obviously had a bit of a scare against Abbey Hay, to say the least, but they're through to the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. But it'd be interesting to see how Altrincham fair in this one against a team who are doing quite well at the moment.
Yeah, I think Barwell have kicked on a little bit over the summer. They impressed me on the opening day, but they've come from nowhere and they're doing great. They're a really well set up side.
Well, Ashton United will be hosting Halesowe in town this weekend. Ashton United currently in 10th, but a point from the playoff positions. Halesowe in town currently a point ahead of bottom place Stalybridge Celtic, and We've been discussing this, the fact there's one relegation spot. We always say, you need 40 points at least to stay up. This season, I don't know what the threshold's going to be to stay up, but one thing's for sure, there's always a team who gets left behind. So if you're the likes of Halesowe or Rushall or Sutton Coldfield or Workington or Whitby indeed down that bottom end, you want to be stretching your legs a bit and making sure you're nowhere near that trapdoor.
Absolutely right. I haven't seen Halesowe yet this season, but the results are very concerning. A heavy defeat in the FA Cup to a side from the division below on Saturday. I mean, they got that great result in midweek against Stafford, which suggests that they do have that fighting quality, and they do have enough possibly to get away from that one relegation spot.
Then we've got the next game, Marine against Colville Town. After a sluggish start for Colville Town, they've really kicked on a bit, haven't they? Currently in 15th position, Marine in 13th position. We've already mentioned that 1-1 draw away at Witton Albion on Tuesday night. A good result on the surface of things. For Colville, a 2-1 win against Matlock Town. Colville, well, I think they're doing all right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. The other side that are, I don't want to say punching above their weight, but I guess they are, really. They're relative newcomers to the Premier Division, just their second season up there, and they're doing a terrific job. And they do pull off some unlikely results. I think they got a reputation for that last season with a few shocks that they pulled off. Fair play to them. They're really equipping themselves well. That should be a really good game against Marine as well. Probably one of the harder ones to predict.
Now, we've got only a couple of more matches to talk about. Let's throw this one into the mix. Rushall Olympic against Nantwich Town. Rushall have had a sluggish start to the season so far. This weekend, Rushall Olympic will be hosting Nantwich Town. And Nantwich have had a steady season thus far. And I think the post-Phil Parkinson era, I think it's been a good start for them.
I think so, and I think we all probably feared for them a little bit with so many players lost to Altrincham and the manager as well, Phil Parkinson, in the summer. But they've done well. They seem to have rallied, and they did well in the FA Cup at the weekend, and they've made a steady start, as you say, to their campaign in the Premier Division. It should be a really good game, this, actually, and a tough one to predict. Rushall, a little bit like Whitby, I suppose, have lost key players, particularly towards the end of last season. They had a real dip after briefly leading the table going into Christmas. They've had a bit of a troubled start this time around, so we'll see how that one goes, but might just fancy Nantwich for this one.
And Hensford Town against Sutton Coldfield Town, a bit of a Midlands derby here. And we should really mention the breaking news. This is we record this bit on Thursday afternoon. And well, Neil Tooth is no longer manager at Hensford Town. It's turning into one of those jobs which is proving to be quite a difficult one, isn't it, Hensford Town manager?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a club that have a great past. They're an ex-conference club. They've reached the third round of the FA Cup. I think there's probably quite high expectancy there. They've got a magnificent stadium there at Keys Park, so it's all set up to go back into senior non-league football. The top level possibly. And unfortunately, it's proven a difficult assignment for Neil. And they'll look to rebuild again. They'll have another transitional period, which no doubt won't help them in the short term. But and a derby won't be easy either. Sutton keen to get points as soon as possible. They have a little bit of a blip, as we mentioned, though heavy defeat to Barwell in midweek. So probably there are easier games for their management team makeshift caretaker management team to start off with.
And we'll give Hensford Town a bit of space. And then when we know a bit more, we'll invite Hensford Town back on to discuss the future, because obviously it's been a very turbulent 12 months for the club, to say the least. Right, let's then talk about the last fixture, and I have saved the best till last, obviously. Matlock Town against Whitby Town. Matlock Town, it's not the start they would have wanted, I don't think. And the same could be said for Whitby Town. Both sides achieved a great deal last season, had a sluggish start. Full commentary is going to be available, of course, on Whitby Town Radio and the legends that are Whitby Town Radio. Me and Swampy are big fans now, by the way, Andy, just to let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what do you think for this?
You're right to compare the sides like that. I mean, both went out to sides from step five, 3-2 away from home in the FA Cup as well, so they've almost mirrored each other's start to the campaign. Both patchy form, to say the least. I think Matlock in particular have had a few defeats in a row thus far, and they lost that one to Colville in midweek as well, so they'll be very, very keen just to get a foothold in the game. I think it'll be an attritional one. I think Matlock will just want to get anything out of the game just to stop the rot a little bit, get themselves a firm foundation. Whitby at a ground where they traditionally find it difficult, but they themselves should be able to match that attritional style. They're physical up front. They'll be able to play Route 1 when they need to, as well as a bit of football as well. I think it'll be a very, very close one, this one, which probably jinxes it as well, but I'm as superstitious as you are, Ben. But I think it should be a really, really close-knit one. this one. I wouldn't like to predict it, but if you want to hear it and you can't make it to the game, Paul Conley will bring you everything on Whitby Town Radio via whitby-town.com.
And I should say, I'm not actually superstitious, Andy. I'm just playing up to the fears of the managers of non-league football, that's all. Anyway, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, a big thank you for joining us on this week's Evo Stick MPL show. You have a lovely weekend and we'll be hearing from you soon. And that's nearly it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. But just before we go, earlier we did catch up with Darren Kelly at Hyde United. And we should mention that the Tigers boss will be running in the Plusnet York Marathon on Sunday, the 8th of October, and doing the 100 miles a month challenge in aid of York in recovery. He set up a Just Giving page, which you can visit justgiving.com/fundraising/Darren-Kelly12. For more information, please visit the Evo Stick League website at evostickleague.co.uk. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news and developments in the world of Northern Premier League football by visiting evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow the league on Twitter, and while you're there, you can also follow this show. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben Hughes, and that's the end of this week's show. Wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.